Everybody, Tom and Yomi here with Daf Nun Tesem Aleph 59A, and we are on the top of Daf 59A. We ended with the question about how a bell would stay tummy, meaning how does it retain its status as a useful kli, which means that it will keep its tumma even without the clapper element to this bell. So how does it still stay useful? So we have two answers as to how it still stays useful. Either you could still bang it on any other sort of kli and it will make noise. That was the answer of Rava, or we saw the answer of Abaye that since it's easily put back together, that's why it's going to be considered as it's attached. We ended up rejecting both of those, and now we have a third answer from Rabbi Yochanan. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, says, "Hol v'roi legamea bo mayim latino." Since this bell could be used as a baby bottle to feed a child, so that's why it's still going to retain its tumah status, because it is still a usable kli. What seems to come out from this answer of Rabbi Yochanan is that even though it lost its initial function of being some sort of bell, as long as it has any function whatsoever, that is still going to be good enough. Now, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Lobay Mei Melech Rishon, is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it doesn't need to be similar to its original function in order for it to retain its tumah status? V'atani, but we have a brisa which says, V'chol kli asher yeshiv alav v'gomer, when the Torah is talking about tumas midras, so that's really a tumah that is transmitted by a person who is tamei because of some sort of bodily emission, like a zav anida, or a woman who has given birth. If she sits, or he sits, or leans on a bed, or chair, or any sort of utensil like that, then that utensil becomes an ava tumah. This is what's known as tumas midras. So when it comes to the tumah, so the pasuk says, in any utensil which he will sit, you might think any object which he will sit on includes even something which is really a barrel, which is the size of a sa'ah, that you just turned it over and sat on it, meaning it's not really supposed to function as some sort of chair, but it's just a barrel that you flipped over and sat on. So you'd think that that would count as something that they can make tameh. Or kafa tarkav yashav alah, or something which is half a sa'ah barrel that you could just turn over and sit on it, yehei tameh. You would think that that would become tameh, or would stay tameh. Talmud lomer asher yeshev alav, that which he will sit on. Misha miyucha li yeshiva, since it's talking about something that he will be sitting on, meaning it's something that is specifically designated to be sat on, that's when it's going to be a problem. But just something that you're just using as a chair, even though it's not supposed to be, that's not going to be enough to become tameh. So yatzazeh, so this is coming to exclude this type of thing, that if someone were to come and actually need that barrel, they'd say, dude, get up, why are you sitting in this on this barrel? So it's coming to exclude that sort of thing. So we see clearly from this brisa that it needs to retain its initial status, meaning a chair is a chair is a chair, and you can't just have something functioning as a chair, but that's true in terms of tumas midras. Now comes the brisa and continues. Rabbi Elazar says, "B'midrasos omrim amud v'nasim alachtenu." When it comes to tumas midras, you're right. Then we have this concept of let it come, let us do our work, which means it has to serve its real function. If someone were to come and need that barrel, they'd say, dude, get out of my seat, or stop using my barrel as a seat. So that's true, and that's going to be true when it comes to tumas midras. But when it comes to tumas mace, then we don't say that. If something's going to become tumas mace, as long as it's able to function in any capacity whatsoever, even if it's not its initial function, as long as it could be usable in anything, it's going to become tumas. But Rabbi Yochanan, and this is important for us because we are showing that there's a steer within Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says, we even have this concept that it needs to be useful for its real purposeful function, its real initial function. It needs to be for that purpose, otherwise it's not going to count. So what we see from here is that Rabbi Yochanan over here by Tumas Mace says that it needs to be something which is usable for its initial function, otherwise it doesn't have any tumah. But over here by the bell without the clapper, he says, no, it's okay because it could still be used as a baby bottle. So which one is it? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold that it needs to be used for its initial function, or does he hold there's no need for its initial function? So answers the Gemara, Epoch Kamaisa, come, let's reverse the rulings of this Shita when it comes to the bells. Meaning, we had Rabbi Yochanan that said that the bell without a clapper is still going to be tame because it could be used as a baby bottle. That really wasn't the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would really hold of Rava that the reason why it's still going to become tame is because you could still bang the bell on other sort of kli and it will make noise, so it still functions as some sort of bell. And that way it fits with his Shita that it needs to be useful for a function similar to the function that it was designated for. That's really the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, so he doesn't really hold of this thing that if it's used for a baby bottle, then the bell is still useful and will stay keep its tumah status. But now I ask the Gemara, my chaz is the aplus kamaisa. We had two situations where Rabbi Yochanan seemed to contradict each other, meaning he said on the one hand the bell does not need to be used for its initial function, but then he said that for the tumah, for tumas mace, that it does need to be used for its initial function when it comes to sitting on the thing. So why are we flipping the one about the bell? Why not flip the one about the tumas mace? And then we can say that really he does hold that the bell could be used as a baby bottle because it doesn't need to be like its initial function. And then he would hold like Rabbi Elazar, or they would switch the shitas, and he'd be the shita that said when it came to tumas mace, then it doesn't need to be for its initial function. It could just be for any function whatsoever. So why do we think that we're going to only flip the first shita? So we should flip the second shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no, really there's a third place where we see that Rabbi Yochanan very clearly holds that it needs to have its initial function in order to go ahead and keep its tumah status. So where is this Hashaminan Leila Rabbi Yochanan Dibai Main Malach Rishon? Because we see that Rabbi Yochanan definitely holds that it needs to be similar to its initial function. How do we know this? Because it's not, because it says in a Mishnah in Caleb. The Mishnah says, Sandal Shabalema Shamatachas Tameh. If you have a metal shoe of an animal that is susceptible to tumah, that can become tameh, Lamai Chazi. But the question is, what could such a shoe be used for? We've already explained that anything that's just for animal usage, whether it's to clothe the animal or as an ornament on the animal, that is not something that's considered functioning enough to become a kli and be tameh. So it must be something that's functional for man also. So what is this shoe functioning for that it could become tameh? So answers the Gemara, three answers. Amar Rav, Rav says, Roi lishtos bo mayim b'milchama. If someone's at war, they can use this shoe to drink water. Rabbi Chanina says, Roi losuch bo shemen b'milchama. Rabbi Chanina says it's something that you could use to anoint yourself with oil in times of war. You could use the shoe to pour the oil out on yourself. Rabbi Yochanan, now the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, he says, B'shasha boreach menakrav, the shoes are going to keep its tumah status, because when a person runs away at battle, when they're running away from times at war, manicho baraglov, you could put them on your own feet, v'ratzal kotzin v'habarkanin, and you can run over the thorns and the thistles, the thing that would normally hurt your feet. You could use these shoes to save you. So what we see from here is that Rabbi Yochanan says it needs to function in a way similar to its initial function. Just like it was a shoe for an animal, the only way it's going to retain its tumah status is if it's going to be a shoe for a human. That's when it's going to remain tummy. So we see that's why we flip the first sheet of Rabbi Yochanan to say that he's not really the one that holds by the bell without the clapper that it could be a baby bottle, because we see that he does hold that it needs to be similar to its initial function in order to work. And now the Gemara goes and analyzes this last Mishnah that we saw in Caleb. So my bein Rav la Rabbi Chanina. So what's the difference between the sheetahs of Rav and Rabbi Chanina about this animal shoe, where Rav said that it's about drinking water out of the shoe, and Rabbi Chanina said it's about anointing yourself with oil out of the shoe. So ikemenayu demais. So the difference between them is where the shoe is disgusting. According to Rav, it would not be susceptible to tumah because no one's going to drink from it. But according to Rabbi Chanina, it still would be, because people could still anoint themselves with oil from it. Bein Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Chanina ikemenayu diyakir. And there's also a distinction between the sheet of Rabbi Chanina, again, who said that you would use it to anoint oil, and Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you would actually use it on your own shoes. The difference is if the case is where the shoe is very heavy, because then you can't really run with it because it's too heavy. But according to Rabbi Chanina, you could still use it to anoint yourself with oil. This is Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.